Right now, let's go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. And joining us, our Indians beat reporter, Alex Hooper, on the line. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, dude?
All right, so why is Jay Bruce not with the Indians?
I think it's year 2 and 3 of that contract.
Okay.
The more I've thought about it, the more I've kind of taken a look at it. I think it's those second and third years. Now, when you look at it, Michael Brantley is going to make $2 million more dollars than Jay Bruce this year because Jay's contract is backloaded. He's going to make 10 this year and then $14.5 million the second and third years. Now, because of those last 2 years, I think what it essentially comes down to is I don't think you can look at Brantley versus Bruce because it's a 3-year contract versus a 1-year option.
Uh-huh.
I think what it really is it's Jay Bruce against Cody Allen and Andrew Miller.
Because
both of those guys are free agents after the year, and you're going to have to find money to pay them. And I don't think you're going to pay both of them. I think you're going to want to pay one of them, and that's probably that Jay Bruce money. I think that's why this team is kind of hesitant to do anything really in this free agent market. I think they'd rather make another trade at midseason, try to find a guy there for a prospect and, mm-hmm. you know, absorb maybe half of a guy's contract. That's Manny Machado, which is kind of the high end of that upside.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe $8 million down the stretch, probably less.
Yeah.
So I think that's just where they're looking at. I don't think they want to add a whole lot of money after this year because you still got to try and lock Francisco Lindor up, and then you got guys like Allen and Miller, and, I mean, even Lonnie Chisenhall is a free agent after this year.
For a team that has had so much success recently, gotten to the World Series, gotten to the playoffs, a lot of success in the regular season, do they just not have room for all of those guys that you were mentioning? Because it would seem like maybe they would nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is you never really know what a team's budget is.
Right.
And you want to look at what happens in free agency and say, this guy was yours, that guy was yours. Why
exactly.
Did you retain him?
Yeah.
It's completely understandable. And trades are fun, too. So when you go out and get a guy like Jay Bruce in mid-August, and all of a sudden he comes in and helps your team, you're like, this is another guy we have for a really long time. It doesn't work that way with middle-market teams like this. And it's kind of the way you have to look at it. It's a weird way to kind of adjust your expectations. But it's just that when you went out and you spent for a guy like Edwin Encarnacion, the reason you were able to get him first off is because these singular power guys, where that's kind of their only major tool, is they're dropping in price. And that's what, I mean, Jay Bruce wanted 5 years and, you know, north of 50, 60 million in free agency. He got 3 years, 39.
Right.
And that's because that's what guys like this project at nowadays. They're easy to replace. I mean, even if you look at Michael Brantley's stats and the time he was healthy against the time that Jay Bruce was with the Indians, their slash lines, I mean, their average OBP and slugging were about the same. They're about even. And Brantley's not a guy who hits a whole lot of power like Jay Bruce does. And still, yet that slugging or that OPS is kind of right there. So when you compare those two, it's like that. And it's just because you can replace guys like this. And I understand why fans would be upset that a guy like Jay Bruce left. I mean,
right.
Like, I'm upset Jay Bruce left because as a media member, you go in and talk to people and you become kind of fond of them. Like, you know how much of a godsend Dwayne Wade has been because
right.
when he talks, you learn so much from him. That's how Jay Bruce was. And I'm upset to see him go. It's just when you look at the numbers, the financials, and then what he does on the field and how you can replace it, it really makes sense. And you can go out and get a guy like this again, you know, midseason for a guy like Ryder Ryan is what they traded for him. He's a Lake County reliever who probably doesn't figure into anyone's plans. And you'll probably be able to replicate that to a degree.
Talking with our Indians beat reporter, Alex Hooper, he joins on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. While all those things are accurate, and I understand where you're coming from on that, isn't there an unquantifiable impact of a guy like Jay Bruce when you put him in the middle of your lineup somewhere and he balances the lineup, and he puts guys in the spot where they should be? And I don't want to cross over leagues or anything along those lines, but in the NFL, like if you have a shutdown cornerback and you take that guy out of the mix, now all of a sudden you're asking somebody to move up one spot, and he's now in a role that he shouldn't be in, and now he's being asked to do things that he shouldn't be asked to do. I felt like the minute that they acquired Jay Bruce last year, Hoop, I thought he put everybody in their spot where they should be in this Indians lineup, and I don't know how you make up for that. I don't know how you quantify that either.
You're 100% right. I mean, that was the impact that was made. You put Jay Bruce in that lineup, you were able to break up Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Santana, which, I mean, even numbers aside and just looking right at it,
yeah.
You had a righty, a lefty, and a switch hitter.
Yeah.
And if you had to manipulate your lineup in a way, you allowed yourself to do that by acquiring Jay. You're 100,000% correct on that. Like he made an impact in so many ways that are not tangible.
Yeah.
That he was such a good fit, and that's why you went and got him. It's just that I think it comes down to this, and again, I don't like making all of these excuses and saying, like, this is why you don't have to worry, because I understand why fans would hate it, but
yeah.
You didn't need Jay Bruce and, you know, $30 million in 2019 and 2020 when you need to spend it in other places. You don't need him to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
And the playoffs are so reliant on just variance. There's so much crazy that happens and so much you can't control in the playoffs that you kind of just need to look to win your division. And then if you can make upgrades along the way, then you do it. If you go out and you pay a Jay Bruce, maybe he gets hurt. If you go out and you trade for a Manny Machado, like I mentioned, maybe he gets hurt. And down the line, I think you have to look to try to change your team if you know you're going to win your division. And
mm-hmm.
I think if there's any team in baseball that knows they're going to win their division, it's probably the Indians and maybe the Dodgers. You look to upgrade down the line because anything you do now is going to affect you for longer. And I think that's the reason they didn't feel like they were going to retain Jay Bruce. I don't think they ever were going to retain Jay Bruce. Mm-hmm. I remember being in the clubhouse, you know, mm-hmm. after game 5 of the ALDS, and literally everybody came up to Jay Bruce, players included, Chris Antonetti included, came up and gave him a hug, and it just felt like he was gone.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever thought that he would ever dip into their price range, and he may have technically, but they had already spent that money. They hadn't made the decision on Michael Brantley. And there were so many factors that didn't allow them to make that decision at that point. And I think when you project forward, it's just a matter of the future. And that's why it didn't happen.
What happens with Jason Kipnis this year?
I think they wanted to gauge his trade value on the market. You know, John Heyman reports they almost made a deal. And I think they wanted to maybe save a little money to try and bring Carlos Santana back. But, you know, the Mets kind of veto that trade at the last minute. And then all of a sudden, Carlos has gone to the Phillies. And I think right now, what you hear is what you're going to see is Jason Kipnis is a guy who, when healthy, gives you a really solid bat at second base. He's a former All-Star for a reason. He's not one of those guys who just makes the All-Star team because every team needs an All-Star. Like, he was worthy the couple of times that he made it. And when he's healthy, he doesn't have as bad a year as last year. It's just he was hurt for a month, and then he comes back and can't get in the groove, and then he's hurt again, and it looked bad. And people have been calling him injury-prone or whatever this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. So if you put him at second base, you lose a lot defensively between he and Jose Ramirez, because Jose Ramirez is a top, top, top-end defender. But for now, I mean, you have Jason Kipnis under contract for a while. You might as well put him at second, get the most out of him. If you're going to have Brantley in left, a Chisenhall, Guyer, platoon, or whoever, if you add in the outfield, I think you just go with the status quo. And if you need Jose Ramirez at second base, then you use him there. If not, you just use him at third. But that's how it sounds for now, unless someone comes in and says, hey, we need a second baseman. If you miss out on a Josh Harrison, some of these other guys that are available,
mm-hmm.
maybe there's still a trade partner there. But as of right now, it just sounds like more of the same.
All right, Hoop, I appreciate you jumping on board, man. Thanks.
Always.
All right, there he is, Alex Hooper, our Indians beat reporter, joining on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline, making me feel a little bit better about the Jay Bruce thing. But I was fired up. I was looking at his contract, and I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. I thought he was going to get money like Carlos Santana. The Indians can't afford this? I looked at the contract, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's kind of a bargain for that kind of guy. But when you project it forward and you start thinking about the domino effect of signing Jay Bruce, not to a one-year deal, but to a two- or a three-year deal, and what that could prevent the Indians from doing moving forward, I guess it makes a little bit more sense. It's going to hurt them this upcoming season, I believe. That's a guy that's very, very difficult to replace in the short term. Now, again, maybe something happens at the trade deadline, but at the beginning of the season, I think you take him out of the lineup and all of a sudden guys are being asked to do different things, or guys are being asked to do some of the stuff that Jay Bruce did, and those guys can't necessarily deliver on that. So it becomes more difficult. It throws things out of whack. But when you start thinking about 3 years down the road, 2 years down the road, and potentially trying to re-sign Francisco Lindor, re-sign Andrew Miller, those kinds of other moves that the Indians have to make in order to sustain success and not just be this flash-in-the-pan type team, it does make sense.